There's nothing on earth that compares to the Catholic priesthood. And today, priestly vocations are booming. Welcome to Vocation Boom Radio, the show that highlights the glory of the priesthood and promotes priestly vocations through exciting information and lively interviews with priests, seminarians and their families, vocation directors, seminary rectors, bishops, and those with a passion for promoting vocations. Here's the host of Vocation Boom Radio, Jerry Usher.
And greetings. Welcome. Good to have you with us here, taking part of your Saturday afternoon to spend with us on this Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. Thank you so much for your listenership, for your prayers. I am Jerry Usher. And I thank all of you who have been praying for our family. For those who didn't hear, the last three and a half months, my sister got a cancer diagnosis. Her name was Mary, and in late October, and just this past Tuesday, the Lord took her home. And so it's kind of been like a punch in the gut for all of us, very, very young, 56 years of age, and all too suddenly as well. And so I just really want to send a sincere thanks to all who have been praying and supporting us in so many beautiful ways. And the funeral is on Wednesday, so if you would please keep Mary in your prayers and her husband Larry and their sons Michael and Mark and our family, we would be grateful for that. On this program, we focus on the priesthood, priestly vocations, and we do our very best to present to you topics and guests and conversations that will hopefully inspire you to love the priesthood more deeply and to do all that you can within your power. And we have each of us has a lot that we can do, really, to encourage more young men to consider a vocation to the priesthood. And today it is a great honor for us to have a transitional deacon with us. That means he is a seminarian still, but he will be transitioning to the priesthood here in June of this year. Deacon Jacob Schneider is with us. He grew up outside a small farming town in the middle of Kansas. He's one of six children born to Bob and Kathy Schneider. After high school, Jacob went to Fort Hays State University in northwest Kansas to study industrial technology education. And while he was there, as is very often the case with our young men today, he slowly discovered a possible call to the priesthood. So in 2010, he left after his third year of college at Fort Hays to enter seminary in Denver at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary, and he studies for the Diocese of Dodge City, Kansas. Jacob and Mark Brantley were ordained together as transitional deacons last May, and his ordination to the priesthood, as I said, is scheduled for this June 3rd. Deacon Jacob, welcome. It's so good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Jerry.
Thanks for making time. And this is, I love the story. This is a lot of common threads run through your story, and I'm sure there are some things that are unique to your vocation as well. But where I'd like to start, Deacon, is, you know, you're one of six kids. It sounds like the faith, I would guess, was probably you know, prominent in your family growing up. So if you can kind of paint a picture for us of the Schneider home growing up and how you may have even had some seeds of a possible priestly vocation planted at a young age. Tell us about that.
Sure, absolutely. It's safe to say there was definitely never a dull moment with a family that size, but always involved in the faith. I give thanks to the good Lord that I never really was away from the church. Now, I may not have practiced, I'm practicing varied in degree, but Mom and Dad made it a point to always make sure we were at Mass. Even if we weren't home for the weekend, Mass was important for us. Dad grew up, Dad was one of the catechism teachers for CCD. Mom was also involved in many, many ministries in the parish, and church was something very important for our family. One of probably the most influential things that we did to really help me develop the habit of prayer is we had such a big family, but we didn't take many vacations, but we would do road trips, day trips. And whenever we'd get in the car, the first thing we always did was pray the rosary. And that is something that even still, when I get in my car, there's always, it seems like especially in western Kansas, you have an hour to anywhere, but it's always a good way to kind of set the tone and help refocus the day in prayer. And so prayer has always been a part of my life. Like I said, growing up, church was important. Also, one of the things, being one of five boys, one of the things that we loved to do was serve Mass. And we had a great priest, Father Alton Murphy, who actually just celebrated his 90th birthday last month. And he was the parish priest at my parish for over 30 years. But one of the things we loved to do was serve. And so there was our family of boys and another family of boys, the Freebs, who had three boys about the same age. And so it was always a race to see who could get to church the soonest or the fastest, because that meant you got to serve. And that was one of the things that definitely was just a fond memory of my childhood. But that closeness to the Mass and that the ability to be able to help Father in some way was definitely there as a kid. Even still, the faith in the family is very strong. I'm about as cradle Catholic as it gets. I couldn't tell you how many generations on each side go back are Catholic, but
yeah.
The Catholic faith is definitely a part of both sides of the family's life.
Vocation Boom Radio. I'm Jerry Escher. My guest today, Deacon Jacob Schneider. He is a transitional deacon for the Diocese of Dodge City, Kansas. Love to have anyone listening in Kansas or throughout the country, even around the world. If you have questions or something you would like to share with Deacon Jacob or any of our listeners, 1-800-585-9396. Whenever we have a young man like this on the program, we'd love to have others of you who are in a similar situation, still maybe unsettled in terms of your vocational calling in life. And if you've got a question or something you would like to ask of our guest today, it's 800-585-9396. I was going to ask you, Deacon, about priestly influence in your life. You mentioned this pastor, or former pastor's just celebrated 90 years. Were there others? Was it? Did you grow up with seeing priests in a positive light and really having time around them?
Absolutely. A couple other priests who, there's been several priests who have been influential in my journey to where I'm at. But most particularly, there's my middle school, high school age. There was a guy by the name of Father Marvin Rice, who was the vocation director for our diocese at the time. But I'll never forget Father Marvin. We were at a companion camp at Conception Seminary College, which was for, I think, 7th and 8th graders at the time. And you're there with a couple hundred kids, and I just remember they had a huge mud slide is what it turned into. It was supposed to be a slip and slide. And I just remember Father Marvin coming down that hill, pasty white, because he always had long pants on and long shirts, but he was just incredibly joyful. And that image will always be seared into my mind, and I still keep in contact with Father Marvin. So he was definitely a huge sign of a joyful priest. Also, there are priests in the family. So there's the closest one would be Mom's first cousin, Father Ted Speckline, who was the guy that I called the night in college when I was trying to figure out what in the world is going on in my life. And we grew up calling him Cousin Father Ted, and so Father Ted has been a great companion and a wonderful friend along the way. And I look forward to serving in the same diocese with him. He's also a priest for the Diocese of Dodge City. So, and also, there's several other priests along the way. My chaplain that I had at college, Father Fred Gadget, was just kind of spot on and the type of a priest needed for college age guys, straight to the point and very dependable and forgiving. So, several priests have made a huge impact on my life in a very positive way.
Well, Deacon, you mentioned you called up one of these priests because you were kind of trying to figure out what was going on. Well, what was going on? Take us back then and give us a little bit of an idea of how this idea of priesthood just started to get stronger in your mind and in your heart.
Sure. To tell the story, I guess, in its truest sense, when I was a kid and when I was talking about how I used to love to serve, there was a time in which a mom claims that I told her that I was going to be the first pope from America. Well, I don't really remember saying that, but there was an attraction as a kid, an attraction at the very least of, you know what, I could do what Father does. It was something very appealing to me, and I just really had an attraction there. Now, throughout middle school and high school, however, the idea of becoming a priest, although it never completely left, it definitely wasn't on in the front of my mind. I mean, it was way in the back burner, so to speak. And as I went through middle school and high school, a big part of my life was athletics. I played a lot of sports, especially football and wrestling, and really was pretty successful at that. And so I had always kind of planned on going to college somewhere, either playing football or wrestling, and then paying for school, finding my wife, coming back, maybe running the family farm, and just kind of live the American dream. However, for me, it kind of all changed when I was a senior in high school. I developed a type of arthritis, which basically I went from being a pretty decent athlete to not being able to walk in a very short period of time. And so I kind of had to rethink of what I was going to do, and so I decided to go to the closest four-year college to home, because I would have been close to home. I could come home and help on the farm when I needed. But also it was, I could get a degree in something I love, which is industrial arts, so building things. And it was at college, that first year in college, when Priest I was telling you about, Father Marvin Rice, and I reconnected. We hadn't seen each other for several years. And it was at the funeral of another priest in the family, Father Joseph Barr. It was at his funeral that the priest who was preaching, he made the comment, if Father Barr would have had one impact of his life, it would have been to attract young men to the priesthood. And at that moment, it was as if the guy giving the homily was Father Bob Schremer, who's our vicar general right now. It was at that moment, like he just threw a brick and hit me right in the chest. And then at the reception for the funeral afterwards, lo and behold, I see Father Marvin Rice, and who I hadn't seen for a long time. And he made some kind of a comment of, hey, can I give your name to the vocations office? And I was thinking in the back of my mind, like, there's not a chance that I'm going to go down that road. But I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And that really kind of began the process in college. However, at that time, I kind of pushed everything away that the diocese had to offer, as far as retreats or like discernment retreats and stuff, until a whole nother year later. And then I went on a discernment retreat called Povadas Retreat, which is really put on by the Diocese of Wichita, Kansas. And it was on that retreat that I left, and I knew with certainty that I was supposed to be married, which you might be thinking, oh, that's kind of odd.
Right.
But really,
right.
At that point in time, I had the girl of my dreams picked out, had the plan figured out, and I was ready to live it. And so after that retreat, went back to college there at Fort Hays and did that. Dated a great gal, and fast forward about a year and a half or so, and we had begun talking about marriage possibly, and then I went on another retreat. And it was on this retreat that the thought, the real inclination of the priesthood came back full force. And I knew deep down inside that I had been running as hard and as fast as I could from this possible vocation. And I really knew at that moment that if I never at least gave God that shot, I would think about it the rest of my life. And so after that retreat, I had a breakup with the girlfriend. That was a lot of fun.
I'll bet.
And then shortly after that, that night when I got back from the retreat, after I had been in adoration and I had talked to my girlfriend and said, we need to have a serious talk, that's when I called Father Ted Steckline. And I think my words were, Father, am I going crazy? Like, what's happening to me? And good old Father, cousin Father Ted, he said, well, you might be crazy, or you could have a vocation in the priesthood, but let's kind of talk about it. And just very grateful for the role he's played in my own discernment and the love and support that he's shown me.
Wow. So, great stuff. Yeah, we have Father, soon to be Father Jacob Schneider. He's Deacon Jacob Schneider with us here on Vocation Boom Radio. Feel free to join us at 800-585-9396. Maybe you're a young man who's in a similar situation. You think you've got it all sorted out. You got that girl picked out. You got the visions of kids and raising a family, and as Deacon Jacob said, kind of living that dream, having a career and so forth. But maybe there's just a little bit of unsettledness in your heart right now, or maybe you're thinking, well, how do I give God that shot, that legitimate opportunity to speak to me? 1-800-585-9396. I want to stay with the relationship just for a minute, Deacon Jacob, because this is I. I've heard this story so many times, and I know there's no one-size-fits-all. You tongue-in-cheek said, you know, gee, that was a lot of fun having to break up with her. But how was that? Because I want to hear you tell it a little bit, because a lot of guys might be thinking, oh, my goodness, there's no way I could do that. But, you know, it sounds like it was a holy relationship. I would have to guess that as difficult as it was, you both wanted God's will for one another. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And probably, I remember when I called Mom shortly after that, and I told her that I think I'm going to fill out an application to the seminary. I remember Mom saying that, you know, I support you, but that surprises me, Jacob, because you always wanted a family. And that night in adoration, I was actually going to go over and watch a movie at my girlfriend's house, but I texted her. I was like, I'm going to swing by the Adoration Chapel first. And it was, at that point in my life, honestly, I think I could count, I could count on one hand how many times I'd actually cried in my life. And that night, you know, now I can really look back and acknowledge the real grace operating there, and the gift of tears. But I was clueless about that right now. I just found myself a 22-year-old kid in the Adoration Chapel with whoever the adorer was, just kind of losing it. But I was losing it because I never wanted to break that lady's heart. And it was a real breaking of my own heart. And it was a real conversation with the Lord. Like, Jesus, if you want this, like, why would you have brought me into this great of a relationship just to have me walk away from it? And for me, it was an opportunity for me just to take the next step and trust him. And it definitely wasn't easy. I mean, it absolutely wasn't easy. I mean, that was around Thanksgiving time, and I didn't leave for seminary until the following August. So I had a whole another semester there in college where I was around this gal all the time. I mean, we had the same friends. We hung out together. And it was a very good relationship, and much better than any of the ones I had had in the past, partly because of how great of a gal she was. But also, it was a relationship that did, like you said, wanted the best for the other person. And that was just a wonderful thing that I had. And if the Lord was calling me to be a priest, that was something that I was going to have to give up for him. And that wasn't easy. But over time, it did become easier. And so, yeah, but she was very supportive, very encouraging, which made me want to not leave her all the more. But still, even today, we're good friends, and she's just a wonderful gal. Mm.
Yeah, yeah, maybe one day as a priest, you'll be able to bless her in some way through a celebration of one or more of the sacraments. That would be a beautiful gift. Yeah. We have Deacon Jacob Schneider with us here on Vocation Boom Radio. We're going to take a short pause right now, and when we come back, there's a lot more that we have to talk about, but we have your phone calls as well. Here's the number, 800-585-9396. I really, really want to encourage you, if you're a young man, even a not-so-young man, and you haven't completely sorted out that vocational calling, maybe the priesthood is somewhere, could be very, very deep in the back of your mind, but you still have an opportunity here. Phone line is open, and you don't get an opportunity every day to talk to someone who's been through the discernment, is very well along that path, just months away from being ordained a priest. So give us a call. And parents, moms, and dads, if you want to know kind of how the family dynamics went for Deacon Jacob, and it sounds like he got great support. Maybe you've got a young man in the care of your home and your family that you would like to encourage, but not push too hard to think about the priesthood. You can join us as well, 800-585-9396. Matt Gabinski will screen your calls, and he's running the board today, and he will run this break for us, and we will come right back.
If you know a man who would make a good priest, tell him so. Vocation Boom Radio.
Discerning coffee drinkers, enjoy some of the best coffee on earth and increase vocations to the priesthood at the same time. If that sounds like just your type of unbeatable combination, then you'll love sipping Vocation Brew. Available in three terrific blends. Morning Lods, a medium breakfast roast. Evening Vespers, dark Italian roast. And Discernment Brazilian Decaf. Our coffee partner, Nossa Familia, has been growing beans sustainably and ethically for six generations on a family farm in Brazil. By purchasing Vocation Brew, you'll enjoy freshly roasted coffee and help build a culture of priestly vocations. All of the proceeds from the sale of Vocation Brew go right back into our efforts to encourage young men to say yes to God's call to the priesthood. Place your order today at vocationboom.com. That's vocationboom.com.
Where would you be without the priesthood? Think about it for a moment. How many blessings have you received from the hands of God's ordained ministers? Too many to count, I'm sure. That's why together we must do all we can to ensure that there are priests for future generations. Your support of Vocation Boom will help make that possible. Log on today to vocationboom.com and click on the Support Us link at the top of the homepage. You'll be furthering the work of Vocation Boom, dedicated to helping young men hear the call of God to be priests. Thank you, and may God bless you for your generosity.
Hello, my name is Father Paul Hazen, Dean of Seminarians at Kenrick Seminary.
Hi, I'm Father Chris Lemieux. I'm the Director of Vocations for the Archdiocese of Toronto.
Hi, this is Father Joe Fitzgerald, Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Rockville Centre.
This is Father David Hasser, the Vocation Director for the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana.
This is Father John Schnobrick from the great Diocese of Burlington, Vermont.
Hi, my name is Father Keith Romke. I'm the Vocation Director for the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois, and thank you for listening to Vocation Boom Radio.
Parents, plant the seed of a priestly vocation. Jesus is a great gardener. Vocation Boom Radio.
Okay, we are back here on Vocation Boom Radio. I am your host, Jerry Usher, and we are going to go to the telephone calls here for our guest, Deacon Jacob Schneider. He is a transitional deacon in the Diocese of Dodge City, Kansas, going to be ordained to the priesthood on June 3rd. And we're going to go to Eric, who is in Mobile, Alabama, listening on Archangel Radio. Hi, Eric. Welcome to Vocation Boom Radio with Deacon Jacob.
Hey, guys. So I came into the church, I think it was about 3 years ago, and I'm already married. And the more I learned about the priesthood, the more I wouldn't say if I felt the call, but I felt interested in becoming a priest. But obviously that since I'm married, it's not possible. At least it won't be in this lifetime if it ever does change. But my question was, would the route of a permanent deacon maybe fulfill that need I would have or a vocation that I would feel, you know, later in life as I get older, maybe becoming a permanent deacon? Would that maybe suffice, would you say? You know, as a deacon, you are a deacon right now, doing the things that you were doing now. Would you think that would kind of become, I would say, feel that need that I would feel?
Well, it very well could. The first thing I would say before I would even talk about the permanent diaconate is just affirming you in your vocation to be a married man, a father, and a husband. And that is a beautiful, beautiful vocation. And so just seeing that in your life and acknowledging that truth that God has called you to be in that vocation and to live that out with the entirety of your life is a beautiful thing. Now, the attraction that you, when you're talking about when you came into the church of wanting to do priestly things is part of your own baptism, right? Everyone who's baptized is baptized as priest, prophet, and king. And so that attraction to priestly things is innate in your very baptism, and acknowledge that as well. Now, I don't exactly know the situation of your diocese for the permanent diaconate, but the permanent diaconate is a wonderful expression of the permanent status of one of the three orders, the diaconate. And the permanent deacon, usually there's an age limit in whichever diocese that you're from before you can even begin the process. But the permanent diaconate is both a discernment of yourself, but also your wife and your family. Because being a married clergy, you are, yes, married to the church, but that marriage between you and your wife is still very, very important. And so walking down that road towards the permanent diaconate would be could be part of a manifestation of this vocation, but it's also a vocation that must be discerned with yourself and your wife and even your family. So I don't know if that helps, but it very well could be a manifestation of that vocation to be a permanent deacon.
How's that, Eric? Is that some help?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it makes sense, you know, with my vocation of being married. And, you know, like I said, we were married before we came into the church, and it sparked my interest learning all these new things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And God bless you for being married. We need holy, and very holy and good marriages. You guys are in the trenches, because it's not easy to be married. And but yeah, so and that would be a conversation you could have with whoever the if you have a permanent diaconate department in the in your diocese, that would be a good place to start, to ask them what that process might look like, because it does look a little different for each diocese.
Gotcha. Sounds good. All right, guys. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. Bless you, Eric. Thanks for the call from Mobile. 1-800-585-9396. And Deacon Jacob, as you said, that will depend on the age of a possible candidate and, of course, a family situation. I mean, if there are a few young kids, the church might say, well, wait a little while. I happen to know a very, very good friend who is in our Diocese of St. Louis. He's a deacon. He's got 11 kids. And the youngest, I think, now are probably in their teenage years. So, but he's been a deacon for quite a while. So it really, Eric, if you're still listening, it just depends on a lot of different circumstances. But it's just great to hear that you have that spark within you to do even more for God's people in the church. So thanks again for the phone call. Our guest is Deacon Jacob Schneider. He is a transitional deacon in the Diocese of Dodge City, Kansas. That means that he is transitioning from being a seminarian. He will be a priest. He's a transitional deacon, spends about a year or so as a deacon, and then he'll be ordained a priest on June 3rd of this year. Well, take us now back to that August when you finally made it into the seminary environment, Deacon Jacob. Did it fit like a glove right away, or were you kind of like going, okay, well, what have I gotten myself into? What were the emotions going through you at that time?
Sure. Well, so where Denver is located from my house in Kansas is about a 5.5-hour drive. And so there were, and I was, well, mom and dad and my little brother came out with me. We stopped and visited my sister along the way. And there were about three different times when if my little brother wouldn't have been in the vehicle with me, I would have turned around and went back home. I mean, there was just so much resistance. And a lot of guys will talk about a huge relief once you finally, you know, get your stuff in your room, you park your car, and you just made it there. For me, there was a lightening of the tension, but really, like, the first 8 months for me were just like, oh my goodness, when can I leave? And that might be a little harsh, but I just had so much inner turmoil. And I remember, so a year ago, I made my canonical retreat, which is a retreat that the church requires you to make before any ordination. And I went back through my journal that I kept in my first year out here in Denver, my spirituality year. And I was kind of shocked at how many times I just remember seeing myself write, Lord, you got one more day and I'm gone, or different things like that. But my biggest prayer, especially in those times when I was just so confused and really kind of torn between the option of staying in seminary or discerning and leaving, was the grace that I asked for was, Lord, I came here for you, so if you want me here, you got to keep me here. And I think any of us who have been in seminary for any amount of time, we've made that prayer. And the beautiful thing about that is that the Lord really does listen to our prayers. And he kept giving me the grace necessary to keep going. That first year in seminary was a very beautiful time. So out here in Denver and at St. John Vianney, we do something a little different. It's becoming more common among seminaries, but we start with a spirituality year. And in that spirituality year, there's no tests for any grades, but there's also, I mean, you get rid of your phone, you get rid of your computer, you step out of the world for a year, and it's primarily a year of coming to know the church in a deeper light, and we do that by reading scripture. We try to go through the whole Bible, we try to make it through the whole catechism, also reading those classics of the saints, our heroes in the faith, and getting to know the church who, if we're being called to it, we'll lay down our life for. And so primarily it's a year of silence and a year of prayer, and it's a year of coming to know our potential future bride. So that year in itself was amazing. I had a decent formation for an average formation of the faith growing up in CCD and stuff. But we just, as a nation, we just haven't done a good job on of educating really anybody in the faith. And that was just a golden opportunity for me to come to know the church better. And as the year went on, the Lord is very generous. I always tell guys, if you open your heart to the Lord, look out, because he'll knock you off your feet. And he really did that. I was just very blessed, especially come March, April of that first year in seminary, to just really have some confidence in where I was at and where I was being called to. And I can honestly say that I really haven't looked back since that point. There's been hard times in seminary, but the Lord has always made it very clear, maybe not in an audible voice, but through discernment and a clarity of those around me that this is my vocation. Yeah. But it was rough. It was definitely rough at first. So, yeah.
Well, any young man who can make it through a year without your cell phone by your side and all of that stuff, Deacon, that's you can survive anything, I'm sure. And I find it beautiful, actually, a little bit humorous as you shared it when you would write in your journal, God, you've got one more day. And for the first thing that came to my mind is the passage in 2 Peter, for God a thousand years are like a day, and God is probably up there laughing at you. But expound upon that just a little bit, how you really, I know you had to be serious. I spent 6 years in formation, Deacon, and in my my final year of theology, I did. In each semester, I said to my spiritual director, I've got to go. I have to go. This isn't for me. I'm not fit for this. And he was just kind of the calming influence there. So how did that calming influence come into your life and really help you kind of stay the course?
Sure. Well, the beautiful thing, or one of the things that I found most helpful, is the fact that in seminary, you're not just on your own. In a society, especially here in the United States, where we're so individualistic, seminary and discernment is not just you and God. So when you enter a seminary, something that I honestly hadn't even really heard of was something that like spiritual direction. And my spiritual director, Father John Riley, is a great priest, really helped me with several things in that first year in seminary, was an anchor of sobriety, so to speak, kind of, you said, the calming presence. And that was something that really helped me stay within the, I guess, the bounds of sanity, so to speak, and not just kind of pack my bags.
Right.
Not only just the guidance of a good spiritual director, but also the fraternity of brothers who are in the same boat. Now, I remember one of the first things that struck me about the guys in my class, because there was 21 of us, and I was just really struck, like, man, these are solid men. These guys aren't running away from the world. They acknowledge the struggles, but they're seeking the Lord. And that community, that fraternity that takes place, particularly in a seminary, was a huge help. There was another guy, we actually came from the same college, and we would go for a walk, and we'd just kind of look at each other like, you leaving today? And he's like, no. I was like, all right, well, I won't leave until, like, stuff like that. But just that brotherhood, the guidance by good priests. My formator, the priest who is in charge of my individual formation my first year, Father Jim Thermos, and he's still the director of the spirituality here, a very holy, saintly man. And him as also a stability factor in that house was priceless. And so that community, good and holy priests, being surrounded by them, seeing their life lived out in a joyful, fruitful manner, really helped me from just kind of packing my bags. It kept the enticement of what a life of a priest would look like in my mind enough to just keep giving the Lord one more day. But I remember that pretty clear when that first night when I was there in seminary, I was like, Jesus, you've got 1 year and I'm gone. And well, that was almost 7 years ago now, so
yeah. Praise God for that. Well, I want to move the conversation forward here shortly, Deacon Jacob, and get to where you are now and your ordination coming up. Talk a little bit about that, but we're going to go back to the phone first before we do that to Milwaukee. William is listening to Vocation Boom Radio on WSFI. Hi, William. You're on with Deacon Jacob Schneider. How are you?
Aloha, Deacon. Aloha. My name is William, and I'm from the Diocese of Honolulu, studying in Sacred Heart Seminary and School of Theology in Hales Corners, Wisconsin. I'm freezing, but wanted to say it's a seminary for what they call older vocations,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I just wanted to encourage you and thank you for listening, or thank you for letting us listen to you, Deacon, about your journey. My journey, I was a monk before for 7 years back in the 80s, left, thought I would never come back, to work in the service of the ministry. Became a tour guide back home in Oahu, and then eventually was asked by the bishop, Larry Silva, to come to the seminary. I said, I'm too old, but I'll be ordained this August 15th, a transitional deacon. So it's been a journey, and listening to you, a younger man, and it's wonderful to know that there's all different types of ages that the Lord calls people to. I mean, all the apostles were not young men, some of them were older and stuff. So, but that's what I just wanted to say. But thank you so much.
Well, God bless you, and you have a wonderful day for your ordination to the diaconate, the 15th August. Wow. Praise God for that.
Oh, yes. And then 3 days later, I'm back at the seminary for my last semester. Many times I just wanted to give it up, But my formators helped me. My spiritual director helped me. And some of my seminarian brothers are very inspirational. And one who is Diocese of Louisville, Kentucky, is a priest now. He says, it's going to be hard sometimes, but look at the prize at the end. You're able to serve God even more through the sacraments. And it's like, wow, okay. It's been encouraging, a tough road sometimes, and then being an older vocation, I'm going to be 54 in May. So, we got some guys, we have one we call the patriarch. He's 67. But, God called him. So, we've been so blessed, and we're also, the church is blessed by having a young man to serve for many years, to bring the sacraments and God's word to all. But thank you.
William, you spared me asking the personal question of how old you are, and I was only going to ask because I really wanted to. I wanted men around your age to hear, that at 54 you have answered that call to go back into the seminary, and soon you'll be a priest. And I just really, we talk about God calling young men all the time, but I like to add, I like to throw in there maybe not so young men. So if there are gentlemen who are in their 40s, 50s, even 60s, and possibly even 70s. If the circumstances are right in your life and you're still a potential candidate for priesthood, give it thought and prayer like William did. So, William, we're going to ask all of our listeners to pray for you in a very special way, too, as you approach Holy Orders here. And sounds like just about maybe a year and a half or less than a year, maybe a little over a year.
Yes. But thank you so much. And I could use the prayers.
Yep, okay. We will do that. Thanks, William. All right, great to hear from you. And we will take our second short break on Vocation Boom Radio right now. When we come back, we will forward our conversation a little bit with Deacon Jacob Schneider, find out how his life has been as a transitional deacon, what he looks forward to as a priest, and more. And there's still time to get you on the program if you'd like at 1-800-585-9396. I'm Jerry Usher, inviting you to stay with us here on EWTN Radio.
Got a spare buck or two? Help us encourage priestly vocations by contributing today at vocationboom.com.
Inspiring, engaging, life-changing. Third Millennium Media proudly presents Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Sometimes when we get put in charge of stuff, we get a little cocky. Oh, I'm in charge, huh? I'm the boss. And we forget that we are all under the authority of Christ.
Protection from spiritual warfare from Adam Bly.
The spiritual world is legalistic. The demons are bound by rules. If you learn the rules that they are bound to operate under, God's rules, you're greatly empowered.
Grow in Holiness from world-renowned Catholic radio host Jerry Usher.
This region of the world longs for the flame of your faith, for the flame of your charitable witness to be a beacon of salvation for your brothers and sisters. And the responsibility is great.
Coming to your parish, Jerry Usher, Adam Bly, and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
This is Vocation Boom, and I'm John Liston, Executive Director of Sarah International, and I want to thank you for listening. God bless.
You can help build a culture of priestly vocations and enjoy freshly roasted coffee at the same time. Discerning coffee drinkers, enjoy Vocation Brew. Available in three terrific blends. Morning Lauds, a medium breakfast roast. Evening Vespers, dark Italian roast. And Discernment Brazilian Decaf, featuring beans from a six-generation Catholic family farm in Brazil. Vocation Brew coffees are certified sustainable and ethical and are created using innovative roasting techniques. 100% of the proceeds from your purchase of Vocation Brew goes straight back into our work of promoting priestly vocations through our website, weekly radio and TV shows, and on-location events. Support priestly vocations in the church. Taste the Vocation Brew difference today by logging on to vocationboom.com. That's vocationboom.com.
Pray for more priests. Then get involved in making it happen. Vocation Boom Radio.
All right, great to have you with us here on this Saturday afternoon. One of my favorite feast days, Our Lady of Lourdes, or Lourdes, as they say, I believe, in France, in Lourdes. And I had the great gift of being able to go to Lourdes, France, one time on a pilgrimage. Just great experience. If you ever get a chance, definitely try and go there. But we honor our Blessed Mother in a very special way today. Mother of all priests and Mother of the Priesthood. And on Vocation Boom Radio, we're talking with Deacon Jacob Schneider. He is a transitional deacon in the Diocese of Dodge City, Kansas. Ordination set for June 3rd, so just about a little less than 4 months away from now. And talk about how life has been as a transitional deacon for you, Jacob. And you get to do more things than you do as a seminarian. Not everything a priest can do, but still, the church gives men like yourself this year of this transitional holy order state. So talk about how that's been.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I think really is at least has hit me the most was, or is, the ability to be able to preach. Now, in seminary, we study all kinds of stuff, ranging from any number of different topics, but the act of preaching is a liturgical action. And it's one that, and throughout the course of our lives, maybe when we're sitting in the pews, we have different thoughts or whatever about it, but being the one who actually is given that privilege to give what the Holy Spirit is moving in them, but also the Holy Spirit moving in them for the people of God in a homily is something that is both very challenging when you try to bring in all of the different options for which to glean from for homily material, but it's also awesome, right? It's as the one who gets to preach, as a deacon or a priest or a bishop, whoever, you get to be, in a real sense, the avenue by which a message can come and to hit any different number of people for their life. And so preaching is something, for me, is just very exciting. In order to prepare for preaching as a deacon, what might you do? Well, you spend as much time with the scriptures as you can. Along with that, you read a ton of commentaries, you look at tradition, and by feeding your own soul and coming to know the tradition better, to love the church better, I get that opportunity to preach, to share that with the people of God. And that's just been a tremendous gift. I'm very, very, very grateful for the pastor I had this past summer, Father Ted Skalski, who he let me preach as much as I wanted. And because we had three parishes,
There was a ton of opportunities to preach, and I'm just very grateful for how he facilitated that, entrusting his flock, even to my words, and even with sometimes not really knowing what might come out. But it's just such a wonderful thing to be able to be that one who has been chosen to advance the gospel for the people of God in the context of a homily. Another thing that increasingly touches me as a deacon is one of the things that I love to do is I love to go out and visit families. I love to spend time with families in their home because there's something that happens only in the home of a family's house that doesn't happen anywhere else. And spending time with them, just being a cleric in their home, that visible representation of Christ for them is amazing. A lot of times I don't even have to say anything revolutionary or earth-shattering. It's just showing up, hearing their concerns, their own struggles, offering them love and support, and walking with them in that. And that has just been an amazing thing that even more so as a deacon than ever before as a seminarian.
Very good. Deacon Jacob Schneider with us here on Vocation Boom Radio, and we are winding down this episode of the program. Got about 6, 7, 8 minutes left here, Deacon, and I do want to get into a couple more things. I know you've had the experience of your diaconate ordination. That had to be just a most glorious experience, but as you so well know, when you receive holy orders as a priest, when you look forward to that and being able to add to what you do right now, obviously consecrating the Eucharist and absolving sins and confession and the other priestly ministries, do you just sometimes sit there and just in awe of what God is going to gift you with in the priesthood?
Absolutely. And I guess the best way to describe it is those two things, the endless mercy of God and the confession and that healing aspect of the Eucharist are the reasons why I want to be a priest. I've experienced the love of God through the hands of a priest, and that's what I so long to do. And to be one who is chosen for that gift, I think the best way to describe it is it's the most humbling thing in the world. There's nothing that I can do to deserve what will be given to me through the grace of ordination. And it's something that hits me again and again and again, especially as this last semester comes to an end, of how unworthy I am in my own right, and yet God is still calling me. And it's only by His grace that I will be a faithful servant. And so I am filled with thanksgiving and gratitude for those many, many people who have walked with me on this journey. I can never thank my family, my mom and my dad and my siblings, my home parish back home who has been there since day one, encouraging me, supporting me, loving on me, sending me cards and prayers and everything, and just countless people who have been with me, walking with me along the way. I sit in awe of that gift. And tremble even. Tremble at that gift that God is willing to invest in me. And it's a beautiful thing, but I am so stinking excited to serve as a priest. I come from a diocese that we have been hurting for vocations for years, and the fact that myself and another guy will get ordained in the same year isn't going to solve that issue. We still need priests, but I am so excited to be able to go back home to the diocese, to the people who I love, and to give my life for them. Because I've experienced that love at the hands of a priest, and I am just so excited and really chomping at the bit as this last semester comes to an end to go back home and do the same for all God's people. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, but definitely, stand in awe, and it's a beautiful gift.
Our prayers also, as you mentioned, for Deacon Mark Brantley, with whom you will be ordained a priest on June 3rd. I have to ask you real quick here in our last couple of minutes, Deacon Jacob, but you have an identical twin brother. Is that right?
I do. I do indeed.
And he likes to have a little fun with your vocation, I understand. What is that about?
Well, so there's been several instances since I've been in seminary that both my bishop and my rector have confused him for me.
Oh, my.
And one of them was right about a week before he proposed to his now wife. So you can imagine the closeness that those two were having. And my rector, who wasn't aware that I had a twin brother, kind of spent the next 7.5 hours on his way back to Denver figuring out or just deciding when I was going to get kicked out of seminary. But after reading my file, he realized, oh, yeah, he does have a twin brother, and that was him. But one of the things, my twin brother's name is Daniel, one of the things that he keeps telling me, it's like, I just can't wait to go to whatever parish you get assigned in and just go out on a date with my wife and then go to a movie and just see what the people do.
Oh, my goodness.
there's more fun planned. I love my brother, and he's been with me the whole way as well, and I give thanks for his witness of marriage. He'll be married 4 years this May, and they have two little ones, and it's just a huge gift. So,
sorry to interrupt, but hang on. We got your Uncle Don is on the line here. Just got about a minute or so, Don, but we wanted to get you on. Hey, Don, welcome from Kansas. How are you, Don?
Hey, thank you, dude. You're good. You're just fantastic. Hey, Jacob, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jacob, just call and let you know that we are proud of what you're doing and that we're looking forward to your ordination in June, okay? Keep up the good work.
God bless you, Uncle Donnie.
All right. Same to you, all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good day.
Thanks, Don, for the call. Wish we had a little bit more time for you to chat with Jacob there. But Jacob, we are running out of time. If you would give us your deacon's blessing here, and of course it's soon to be a priestly blessing, but it's sacramental nonetheless as a deacon. If you would do that for us right now, we'd appreciate that.
Absolutely. The Lord be with you and with your spirit.
And with your spirit.
God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Deacon Jacob, thanks so much for making time for us today, but thank you so much even more than that for your yes to God. And all of our listeners are going to be praying for you and your other transitional deacon, Mark Brantley, as you get set for your June 3rd ordination. God bless you, Deacon. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. God bless.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Vocations are alive and well in the church today. Young man answering that call. And as we heard from William, one of our callers, not so young man, he's 54 and about a year, maybe less than a year away from being ordained to the priesthood as well. So is God calling you? If you're a man and you are still a possible eligible candidate, give it some thought. Give it some prayer. Talk to your pastor. Get into some spiritual direction and think about that. And we would love to have you check out our website online at vocationboom.com. And one of the ways that you can support us and also enjoy some fantastic gourmet blends of coffee by ordering Vocation Brew right there on our website. So please go to vocationboom.com. Make your next coffee purchase one that will help bring about masses and confessions.
The solid Catholic voice you trust. On air, online, on demand. This is the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.